We pray for your spirit to open up the kingdom of heaven to us. I sense in the text we're looking at, and it is a huge key for many, many people to see life in a different perspective. So I pray that you'll stimulate our intellects, you'll raise up our thinking, and you'll really pierce our hearts with your sword. And we pray, Father, that you'll set people free. This whole eighth chapter that we've studied for a month now has been filled with freedom and liberty for the human soul and the human spirit. And I'd like to pray today that many people would be released from just a simple thing that you're going to discuss with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn to chapter 8 of John's Gospel as you're being seated. John chapter 8. If you'll just follow along, I'm going to read to you starting at verse 37. And we'll finish this chapter. We've spent about 4 weeks or 5 weeks on it. And there's foundational truth all the way building up to this. And hopefully if you haven't followed us, you could get it downloaded from the internet or the bookstore. A lot about liberty and freedom and truth. Those three words really ring through this chapter. And those are three words that we each need in our lives to experience, that we can be free and nobody controls us. But follow me as I read and underline the things that stand out to you and see if maybe you can get some questions answered today. Verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me simply because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And then said they to him, we're not born out of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, and he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and you have a devil? Two hugely slanderous words, slurs, to say about him. Jesus answered, I do not have a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said unto him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets that are dead? Who do you make yourself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. But it's my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, just like you. But I know him, and I keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then said the Jews unto him, you're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. That's the same I am that was at the burning bush that spoke to Moses. Then took they up stones to cast at him, and Jesus hid himself. And he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so he passed by. There's a strong emphasis that Jesus somewhat, if it were a debate, he lures them into the battle and takes them out. about Abraham. And they keep saying, we're Abraham's children. We're Abraham's children. So they're dealing on the physical level there. We're descendants of Abraham. So just because I was born into Abraham's family, I get to go to heaven. And he said, well, if you're Abraham's children, then you do the works of Abraham. And the works of Abraham are very simple, is faith. He saw a city that was not built by the hands of man that he was going to someday. And then he changed gears on him and went to a spiritual level. God is my father. And they said, hey, we only have one father, and that's God. God's our father. And then Jesus said on that level, if God were your father, you'd love me. Otherwise, you'd see that I am the Savior. I've come to save you. And then they said, well, you think you're greater than Abraham. So they go back to the physical conversation. Abraham's dead, and he had powerful words. Prophets are dead, and they had powerful words. And you're telling us, you're not even 50 years old, that Abraham has seen you, and that if we'll just believe your words, we'll live forever? Come on. So here are the religious leaders controlling this whole nation, and they didn't really know either Abraham or God. They didn't know him. They knew about both of them. We all have friends like that, that know about God. They know about the Bible. They know about truth, but they don't know it at all or him at all. So you think of this verse 42 to 47 we'll zero in on and see if it speaks to you a little bit that could help you the rest of your life. If God were your father, you would love me. That says a lot right there. If God is your father, you would love Jesus. We saw in our last message, if you're truly my disciple indeed, Jesus said, then continue in my word. So if God's your father and you truly love him, you'd be a person that would really spend a lot of time knowing his word and living according to his word. Now, if God isn't your father, you're not really going to love Jesus. If you love someone, you keep close to him and you do those things that are pleasing. The only thing he asked that was pleasing was just continue in my word. So if you don't love his word, the question would have to be, do you know him? If you don't know him, then you don't know God. If you don't know God, then your destiny's already set for you. So he said, if truly God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me to you. Why do you not understand my speech? Why can't you understand the sermon? Why can't you understand when somebody tries to tell you the truth, he's saying? Simply because you're not able to listen to my word. So a person that's unable to listen to the word of Jesus is a person that isn't able to understand what he has to say, is a person that doesn't know him, is a person that doesn't love God. It's that simple. So if you battle inside, and yet you know there's a God and you somewhat believe in Jesus, today's a good day for you to get this all straight with him. Don't play at religion. We're very, very close to some catastrophic events in our country and in the world. And the prophecies of the Bible already have told us about this. This isn't the time to be playing in the world. It's like being out in the middle of a freeway, playing catch with a friend at rush hour. You're not going to make it. So if you love God, then you want to hear what Jesus has to say. If you can't hear and understand, he's given you a way out. And that's simply pray and say, God, please help me. And God will always help you. He said, you are of your father, the devil. That says a lot. And the desires of your father you want to do. Party hardy. If it feels good, do it. I'll have it my way. All self-centeredness and selfishness. The father of the children of the devil, they do his desires. He defines him to us. He was a murderer from the very beginning. And do you know, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, that if we have indignation or wrath or anger against our brother without cause, we have murdered them. We're all guilty of that. We've probably murdered an entire population of a small town with the people that we've been angry with, or even said, I could kill you, or I could knock your head off. That anger rages in us. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Now, that statement, there's no truth in him, was translated, well, paraphrased in the Living Bible, not translated, but paraphrased, there is not one iota of truth. There's not a dot of truth. There's not a fabric of truth. There's not the width of a hair of truth inside of Satan. He has nothing. And he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he's a liar. And he's the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear simply because you're not of God. Those are pretty profound words of Jesus. Like you, many of you, I found that most people live their lives under a lie. Could be the family secret. Could be the family lie. It could be that you're hiding something or that people hid things from you. But there's a bigger lie going on. Most people never develop the strength to rise above the lie. And the lie could just be words coming into your head, thoughts coming into your head. You can't do this. Who do you think you are? What gives you the right to better yourself or do more than you did a year ago or 5 years ago? Come on. You're nobody. You haven't got the education for this. You've all heard all those lies before. They come into your mind. You know, you're nobody. You're a loser. Oh, you think you're something. Nobody likes you. We've all heard thoughts of that nature. Where did they come from? That's not God. Because the Bible tells us that God has a multitude of thoughts that are good thoughts and precious thoughts towards us. So many of them that they outnumber the grains of sand on the earth. So the devil is working many of you over. Some of you have been stilted since you're 13 years old. Some of you have been jammed up since you're 22 years old. Some of you haven't moved forward emotionally since you're 7 years old. The devil just comes along and he works you and he works you. And then he shows you the right TV shows and the right movies to go to feed that negative feeling. And you think you're going out for a night of entertainment or something. He just works you and he works you and he keeps you in bondage that you can never rise above and accomplish one thing in your life that is everlasting. Or that could make a difference to other people. You know, we're lied to on a bigger scale by education. We're lied to by the entertainment world. We're lied to by government. We're lied to by friends. We're lied to by family. And by the whole system called this world. It's all a deception. It's not real. It's going away. It's important to understand that reality is distorted, ladies and gentlemen. And it's distorted with words that make a lie. And God has come to set us free. That's what Jesus said. I've come to set you free. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Now look at this in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Throughout the New Testament, the Apostle Paul uses these terms that Isaiah did by saying, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Do not be ignorant concerning these things. Don't be ignorant. I want to instruct you. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints and is never weary. Do you ever faint? Are you ever weary? You ever get tired? You ever feel like I give up? Well, God never gets to this place. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases your strength. You're about ready to throw in the towel. You're about ready to just fall on your face and say, that's it. You're going to go back to your old ways. You're going to return to Egypt. You're going to go back in the flesh. You're going to have an affair. You're going to break up your marriage. You're going to start drinking again. You're going to start toking again. You're just giving up. And God says, no. He gives power to the weak. That's when God can be strong, is when you and I are weak. And when we admit that we're weak, that's when he's strong. And we beg him for his mercy and his help. But when we're self-sufficient and we think we can do everything, there's no room for God, so God just stands back. It's when we're honest, we say, God, I am so weak. I do not have the capabilities or the abilities. Can you help me, please? That he comes. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the young men, the youths, the young women shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Boy, that looks like our country. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Last night in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, Mickey and I were coming home after being in a foreign country last week called Mississippi. And we were taking trauma grief training course, and then we're trained to be instructors in it. And in the men's room, as we were switching planes, I went in the men's room, and there was an Army man, and he was in his combat fatigues. And I turned to him. I said, I want to thank you for serving our country and for being in the Army. He says, oh, no problem, sir. I said, well, I want to thank you because I know this is a volunteer deal. You weren't drafted. He said, well, thank you. He said, I do it for my family, and I do it for you, and I do it for my country. I love this country. And I said, it's the greatest country on the face of the earth, isn't it? He said, yes, sir, and I'd be willing to die for it. You know, there's a man that really has an undistorted point of view. See, it's not about the politics of the war. It's about the truth of liberty and freedom. Most people don't have the truth of liberty and freedom. But you can mount up with wings of eagles. You can do things that are really fantastic. I want you to allow God to make you stronger in the midst of your weakness this week. Give Him a chance. Whatever it is, the greatest weakness you have, just keep calling out. You may be a sex addict. You could just be the biggest liar in the city. You could be the meanest, ugliest dude in town. And your weaknesses have destroyed you, and they've hurt many people around you. It could be your bitterness is your weakness. The Bible says, don't let any root of bitterness spring up in you, lest it defile many people around you. Allow God to make you stronger this week in the midst of your weaknesses. The key appears to be acknowledging that we're weak. And here's where God can really begin to work deeply with inside of us. USA Today magazine quoted a book called The Day America Told the Truth. And they found out, the author of The Day America Told the Truth, that 91% of Americans lie routinely. 86% lie to their parents, 81% lie about their feelings, and 75% lie to their friends. Boy, there's nothing worse than being the one being lied to by the child, by the parent, by the boss, or by the friend, is it? We hate it. But we see that the majority of people in our country are liars. But in this text, Jesus spoke of truth, and lying is the opposite of truth. Life is about truth in God's eyes, but in the devil's eyes, life is about lying and deception. So he trains his children to be perfect liars and deceivers. And there is no greater way to deceive than to misuse the truth of words. And so he could just look you right in the face and smile and get you to bow down to him and do whatever he wants you to do just by telling you things that aren't truth. You know, the book went on to say that 73% lie to their siblings. 69% of Americans lie to their spouses. 43% of Americans lie about their income. 40% lie about sex. And 36% tell, quote unquote, dark, important lies. Have to say these things so that the people don't get upset. In politics, it's called, will this fly? Do you think we can get it by the people and trick them? Do you think we can accomplish what our party wants to get done? God's our Father. And that's a biblical concept. And they went to the physical level first with Jesus. Abraham's our father. Well, if Abraham were your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. You'd be loving me. You'd understand who I am and you'd understand my words. And you would be men of faith, loving the people you serve. Oh, we have one God, one Father. That's God. Well, if God were your father, now Abraham's not their father. He's already shown them that. And they've almost admitted that by switching the subject. God's our father. Oh, now you're going to be spiritual. Well, if God were your father, you would love me and you'd listen to my words. So no matter what he said, the liars come back at a different angle and he hits them on the physical plane, the spiritual plane, they lose on both planes. You know, to know good and not to do it is sin. To know about God and not to live with him won't get you into heaven. Very important for you to know the truth. Of all the people, these Jewish leaders should have known that Abraham was about truth and they should have experienced truth. But they had a form of religion that gave him a lot of power. And one of the great fearful things in the end days, we are told in the New Testament, is number one, there will be traitors. Our country, our media is full of traitors right now. When we should all be united, standing together. But we live under a new flag now. It's called diversity and tolerance. There is no absolute. It's relativism. We're filled with traitors all over the country, including the pulpit. Truth isn't here anymore. And it's the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that founded this country and has made this a great country and one of the greatest groups of people in the history of planet Earth. And last night on CNN, I noticed a big thing glorifying the Muslims. I saw in Jackson, Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, a banner hanging on the art museum. Muslim culture. And you realize their sword is the Quran. And they use that sword to take heads off. And their book tells them to kill anyone that is an infidel and will not follow the words of Muhammad and bow their knee to Allah. And America's book is the Bible. That is the sword. But America put the sword down. And now in the courts of law with the American Civil Liberties Union, our law suing going on that Muslims will not put their right hand on the Bible and swear to God. We've put our sword down, ladies and gentlemen, and we're losing our country. We don't have the will to fight. We don't have the ability to fight because we don't fight against flesh and blood. Our enemy knows that. We could have the greatest military might in the world, but if we haven't got God on our side, we'll never win one little skirmish, let alone a battle, let alone a whole ideology. We're now saying to people, oh, we will give up our God, we'll give up our faith, we'll put down our sword so you can come into our country and buy our old churches and turn them into mosques and threaten us, but you will not let one Bible come into your country and one preacher stand up and say the good news of Jesus Christ or you'll kill him dead. No, the liar has come, and power-hungry and greedy people that have turned their backs on God have laid the sword down. Now it is interesting in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16. Isaiah saw you, but Abraham didn't. Doubtless you are our father, Isaiah says. Though Abraham was ignorant of us, he didn't know the McIntoshes, he didn't know the Smiths, the Johnsons, the Joneses. He didn't know all these Gentiles. He was ignorant of us, though he was ignorant of us, and Israel does not acknowledge us, the spiritual people. You, O Lord, are our Father. Even though the leader, Abraham, didn't know us and didn't have faith to see us, was ignorant of us, you're our Father. That's wonderful to know. Our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. You see, it's a spiritual Father. It's a spiritual God. It's God Almighty is our Father. Not God Christianity or God religion or God denomination or God popular preacher. No, the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, that's our Father. And though all the religious leaders were ignorant of us in the future, our Father has never been ignorant of you. He knows every hair on your head, Jesus says. He's got them all counted. For some of you that are balding, he's got a little easier job. He knows everything about you. He loves you dearly. He wants to help you. He wants to be in your life. He wants to lead you, guide you. He wants to love you. He wants to protect you. He wants to defend you. He wants to stand up face to face with the liar who is trying to destroy you. There's a book written by a man called Ralph Keyes called The Post-Truth Era. Americans, Mr. Keyes found out, tell an average of 13 lies a week. Boy, what a dangerous thing. The most common two lies are, I'm fine. You know what the second lie is? I'm sorry, I can't make it to the phone right now. Somewhere in the top 10 is, no, that dress doesn't make you look fat at all. You know, in the post-truth era, we could call it, we don't just have the truth and lies, but we've created a third category of ambiguous statements that are not exactly the truth, but they fall just short of a lie. They're not really lies. We don't really lie. We enhance the truth. It could be called neo-truth, maybe, or soft truth, or faux truth, or truth light. It's not really a lie. It's still somewhat truth that we give out. Research found out that men lie to impress and women lie to oblige. A psychiatrist speaking of one of his patients that had a problem lying said, he was a habitual liar, he is someone for whom the truth is temporarily unavailable. We all know people like that. You know that whatever they say is not truth. But is it just direct words that are lies, or is it deception by not giving all the truth? Is it manipulating a situation so that people over here think that this is really true? This is how it is. And then you back away from developing what everybody thought was the truth, and your hands are clean, and you stand to the sidelines. And what went wrong there? Lies show up in many, many ways, ladies and gentlemen. Some people are so good at lying, they don't even have to open their mouth. They can just sign a piece of paper and the lie is there. They can develop a scenario and people follow the scenario. And when the scenario collapses, they can have a Ponzi scheme. They can have a scam. And they've lied to the innocent that have trusted them. We saw something else here. We saw who our Father is. Even though the leader of faith and the father of faith and who the Jews put their trust in and their heritage, Father Abraham, Isaiah lifts it to a higher level and says, though even Abraham was ignorant of us, you've never been ignorant of us. We love you, Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. There was the father of lies. You know, the liar has not one iota of truth in himself. And when he tells you to give up your virginity and you're going to feel good and you'll be popular, he's the biggest liar in town. When he tells you, oh, one little sip, it won't ever bother you, he's the biggest liar in town. How many alcoholics throughout the centuries have heard that lie? Just one little glass, one little drink, huh? That won't bother you. How many people die by the millions in the last few centuries from smoking? Oh, man, it's nothing. Just puff on it. You're only 12 years old. You just try it one time. Hey, we're sorry you're dying. You're 67 years old and your lungs are gone on you from those many years of smoking. How stupid could you be to smoke? He's a liar. And then when he's got you in the grip of that lie, he spits in your face and he mocks you. How could you be so stupid to fall for this lie? You only did what you wanted to do. I just gave you the option, he tells you. And you make the option and you die of AIDS. Well, it was acceptable. The government signed it into law. It's good. It's all right. This is true love. Yeah. Be yourself. And be a pansy. If anybody speaks out against you, sue them. Put them in prison. Boy, the devil knows how to lie to a president and a Congress and a Senate and a CEO and educators. Liars. Liars. Father of lies. The liar has not stayed in the truth, he said. He's not in the truth. I wonder today if you have friends that are not in the truth. They're outside the truth, which means you and I have an option to be in the truth and live in the truth and keep the truth as our shield around us. You can murder with words. The Bible just said that Jesus told them that he was a murderer. He's the father of all lies. He's a murderer from the very beginning. As soon as he's introduced to the human race, he began killing humans. But how did he do it? He had humans kill humans. Boy, what a good lie that is. That's a tremendous lie. For a brother to kill a brother, Cain and Abel, he did the dirty work with his words, but man did the dirty work with his hands. He's a liar and a murderer. He used deception with words. He was there from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. When we read Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, it says about him, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He challenges God's word. His whole aim was not just to challenge, but to get it out of the public arena at that time called the Garden of Eden. His whole thing to challenge prayer in the classroom in 1964 was to really not just remove prayer, but remove the Bible, remove teaching from the Bible, to put evolution in, to degrade the human race, to make Americans think that you evolved from monkeys, to take away what made us great, and to make everything relevant and show that all roads lead to God. And then LSD came in the 60s. And then my whole generation went on the many myriads of roads trying to find the answers to life. And mysticism and Eastern religions poured in. Lies. Huge, tremendous lies. The woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. We have no record at all that God said, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. God said, don't eat it. How would you eat it unless you do touch it? He didn't say, lest you touch. He added to the word of God. You know, you can challenge the scripture. You can add to the scripture. You can manipulate the scripture. You can take away from the scripture. And you've got to lie. When you live according to what God said what he meant, and he meant what he said, you're going to be right on the right path. And you're going to have a light that's going to light up your path. In the lawsuits that are there this past week, it's because the Quran that was sworn on was in the library of President Jefferson. But hold it, just a minute. They say that he endorsed the Quran by that. But the president read that book because he knew that that enslaved people and that there were problems in Africa with the black communities being enslaved by the Muslim slave traders, and that women were degraded and had no rights, and were the chattel property of a male. And that president knew that if we let our country go that way, we're dead. But if we lift up the Holy Scriptures, we're alive. And so in his brilliant thinking, he and the other men that founded our country realized this is the book. Now, I have a very large library and I have a lot of books I don't believe one hoot in. But I need to know what that side is thinking and doing so I can take the light of truth and compare it and know how to speak out to help people get set free. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's ever a time to pick up the Bible, it is today. It is not just generically now, our generation. It is today. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You'll surely not die." First, it comes as a challenge. Do you think that you'd like to have sex with him? I know it's your only first date, but you haven't had a date for a long time, and if you have sex with him, that maybe he'll ask you out for next week. Come on, nobody will ever know. And then you end up at the county medical a month later. You were lied to. He challenges you, and then he lies to you. You're not going to die. Has God really said? You don't really believe you'd die. They didn't know what die was. They only knew life. Well, if you don't know what the other side is, how can you make a decision about it? And if God said, don't make a decision about that, I've already made it for you to protect you, then why can't you be just content that God would say no to something that would hurt you? You know, it's only 10 commandments. 4 of them are about your relationship with God and 6 of them about your relationship with other people. We have about 400,000 laws to interpret those 10 commandments. It's crazy. He only put those out there to say, if you keep away from these things, you're going to have a great life. That's all. And then we interpret, well, what he really meant to say was da, 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 da. No, that's not true. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. Now we know who the liar and the father of lies is. That old serpent, the old dragon, it says in Revelation, Satan, the devil. But notice that the liar was a murderer, because this poor mom, 6 verses later, has her heart crushed by a lie. That's right. 6 verses later, to see that was pleasant to the eyes, great to the taste, and that would make her wise. Lust to the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, John says in 1 John. 6 verses later, her heart is crushed. In John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, not 6, a few more. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. So evil is always fighting righteous. You're either an evil person or you're a righteous person. You're either a good person, your father is God, or you're a bad person and you're always pulling down anything that's good. And the devil's your father. Had that mom obeyed God, her son would not have gone to the dark side and been evil, nor would she have had Abel murdered. How you and I have the power to shape children or to shape friendships is amazing. One day, Philip's little boy, my grandson, Cole, 4 years old now, get this, we're sitting and playing Xbox 360. So I bought this Star Wars, he's a Star Wars fan, Star Wars game for him to play. It's all Legos, you know, little Lego characters, Leia, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, they're all Lego characters, you know, little goofy looking cartoons. And so we're playing, and the game said that you got to go down this way, and you play your game and go in this door and down to the next door. Well, somehow he was working the controllers, and his little R2-D2 went off to the left of the screen and never to be seen again. He pushed the wrong button or something. And I'm saying, where's your man? Here, push this. And he's, I don't know. And then he hands me his deal, and I'm trying to find him, can't find him, and then I give it back to him. I said, I have no idea where your man is. I don't know where little R2-D2 went. And he looked at me very seriously and said, maybe he went over to the dark side. And I stopped for a minute. I said, now how would that little guy know that the dark side is the bad side. Cain went over to the dark side. And maybe you're in the dark side today, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ died so you could come to the light, and the light would make you free. Some think that the devil's a counterpart of God. He's not a counterpart. He is not. He's a rebel. He's a created being exactly like you. You are the daughter of God. You are the son of God. You are a child of God. He is your father. You are his children. He is the king. You are the prince and the princesses. You have all the authority, but the devil has lied to you and said, you have no voice in this matter. You have no word to say. You have no power. You have no strength. You cannot fight me. I'm too powerful for you. Absolutely. So we ask Jesus to fight him for us. Our big brother steps into the deal, and there you have it. It's all over with. When he comes on the scene, that old serpent slithers away. But he will lie to you. If you do not know your royal priesthood, you will live like you're in the slums. And you could be a $30,000 millionaire today, and everything's leased, and you look like you're really powerful. The devil's got you trapped. You'll know the truth. Truth will make you free. He hates God. He despises God's creation. And you being a centerpiece as a human being, made of clay, but filled with the eternal spirit, he's going to do everything he can to destroy you. God's still on the throne, ladies and gentlemen, and Jesus is at the right hand of God. Don't let lies keep you from eternity. Don't let lies keep you from going to heaven. The Ten Commandments tell us that lying about a person is a major sin. Exodus 20:16, do not give false testimony. Don't lie. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. You're murdering him. An individual's reputation is to be guarded with his life and his property. You may guard your Porsche. You may guard your house. You may guard your money. Start thinking about guarding your reputation and your character. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 4:1, Satan came to him in the wilderness and he resisted him. He came and he offered him all the kingdoms of the world if you'll but bow down and worship me. And he said, get out of here. I only worship the Lord God Almighty. If you've bowed your knee to this world's ready to disappear. You need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says that there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to all men. And God, who is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. And with that temptation, he will give you the means of escape. You don't need to lie your way out. You don't need to keep deceiving. You don't need to manipulate. Just stand there and be the weak old you you are and let God be strong through you. You can't do anything. You can't even pick up a pebble, let alone 100-pound weight, if God didn't want you to. You could be done today, walk out of here, never again to walk back in. No, be honest before God. In Luke 10:18, Jesus Christ said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's right. He fell from heaven. Like lightning, poosh, just like that. When God was through with him, he was gone. He was gone. He has no power over God. He has no influence with God. He has no say with God because there's not one bit of truth in him. And when he comes to the throne this very moment and lies about you and lies about your childhood and lies about your teen years and lies about your promiscuity and he lies about your stealing and your cheating and your lying and your manipulating, God turns to Jesus and says, is that true about her? Yes, Father, it is true. Then judgment must come, as Satan says. Yes, Father, but she and he and they have bowed their knee to you through me. And they've asked your forgiveness in my name. And because I ask you on the cross to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing, my blood has cleansed them of all that. It's old business, Father. Oh, get out of here, Satan. Don't come back to me again about her or him. They belong to my son. Whoa, I love it. We're free. Doesn't mean we go out and sin more, but where sin does abound, grace does more. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought in his angels, and they didn't prevail in this war. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Where'd they go? I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. He's knocked out of the throne room. And they, you, overcame the devil, the liar. Number one, by the blood of the Lamb, you need Jesus Christ and him crucified. Number two, by the word of their testimony. I once was blind and now I see. I am a sinner, saved by grace. The minute you start telling what Jesus has done for you, the demons, the imps, the devils, the fallen angels, they all have to split the neighborhood. The only reason America is going away is because people aren't standing up for the truth. And when the truth isn't expounded, there's no light. When there's no light, darkness comes in. When darkness comes in, the greedy hearts of men start to control their brothers until they can murder them. It's so simple. Now, if you were God's children, you'd believe the words of me, Jesus said. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony. And thirdly, they weren't vain and self-centered. They loved not their lives unto death. I will expend myself and every asset I have for God's great kingdom. Yes, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. But woe to the people, the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. So we're to be pitied, heaven says, because this powerful creature, nothing more than a creature, created by your Father, is living on our planet with all of the third of the angels that fell with him. They're here. They're powerful. They're mighty. They come and go, physical, spiritual. They come and go in this realm. They control everything. This world is a lie. This is not your home. You're a pilgrim. You're a sojourner. You're only passing through. Do not put your hands on it. Don't grab onto it. Don't try to get more. Don't embrace it. Love the people. Hate the sin. Love the sinner. Pour your heart out so that people can see your meekness, that you do know God, and that you do live according to his word, that they could be set free. If you really love people, you don't sleep with them until you get married. You really love people, you don't get stoned with them. You really love people, you don't treat them like that. You sacrifice your feelings, your emotions, everything, so that they can see that God is the eternal Father of those that believe. And if you continue and keep my word, Jesus said, you will never see death. But hold it. All the religious leaders, Abraham, the prophets, they're all dead. You're saying that your words are greater than theirs? Yes, he is. Before Abraham was, I am. And Moses said, and I shall go and see why this bush burns, but it does not fall away. And as he began to approach, the Lord God Almighty spoke, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. Who shall I say is sending me? Tell them that I am, is sending you. Before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. When he was in the garden and they arrested him, and the soldiers came, 200 of them, and Judas came in and kissed him on the cheek, he said, who is it you look for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And the only words out of Jesus' mouth was, I am. And at that, all 200 soldiers fell over backwards. The I am that was before Abraham, the I am at the burning bush, was in the Garden of Gethsemane in the form of a man willing to die for you. Believe the truth, you'll be free. Believe the truth. If you're prone to lie, call it what you may, fib, white lies, stretching the truth, stop it today. Stop practicing the tool of the devil. Stop using your tongue to deceive and bring darkness into other people's lives. When you think of your eternal soul, you have a choice. You have a choice to spend it in eternity in the presence of God Almighty, your Father, forever, or to reject him and spend eternity alone with yourself in darkness. These people leaned on their blood relationship with Abraham. That doesn't get you into heaven because your mom was a Catholic. They missed the spiritual relationship of faith. In Luke 13, Jesus said, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from, so depart from me, all of you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out. Spending eternity with yourself and all your lies? Not a very pleasant thought, is it? But Jesus Christ took all those lies upon himself. and nailed his left hand to the cross and nailed his right hand to the cross. And they plaited a crown of thorns and mocked him that he was a king. And they yanked his beard out and chunks of flesh came off his face. They spit right in his face. They took a rod and beat him so badly that Isaiah says you could not tell his visage was a man. His feet were nailed to that cross. His back was whipped wide open. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The devil's a liar. He'll do everything to keep you from truth. Follow the one that loves you the most. Shall we stand and shall we pray? We're grateful to you, Lord, that there is light so we can see in the darkness. We thank you, Lord, that you've made it a narrow path. Some people complain that the path is too narrow. And they are upset about that. It's easy to be on a broad path, Lord, and to go where all the crowds are. But you make it special. You make it unique. There's no way that we can make it through the straight gate on this narrow path without your help today. We have lied. We have deceived. We have murdered people with our tongues. We have said mean things about other people. We have slandered. And we know that that is not your modus operandi. We know that your words are truth, liberty, justice, freedom, love, peace, joy. We want to be recognized as your sons and your daughters. In this hour, this moment, we beg your forgiveness for our pride that would lead us to think that we need to accept lies and we need to dispense lies to get somewhere in this world. If it's a little thing about lying, of just something that seemed like a white lie or a fib, it's sin to you. And we would pray today that you would forgive us of this sin of lying in our hearts and our lives. And then we would pray for all those that have been lied to by the devil that are just pounded down today, that have never felt like they could amount to anything or could ever rise up above the lies, but have lived the lies under the defeat of an abortion or the defeat of a divorce or the defeat of a bankruptcy or the defeat of a fallen friendship or a broken love relationship, that they could never ever feel good again or ever do good again or ever be good again. Would you just snap that lie right now and burn it up, Lord? Dissipate it in these hearts. All the power that Satan would have over any person here because he's lied to them and given them a bad self-image or kept them away from their friends or their family because of a lie that they've built it up. He's challenged your word and then he's actually lied about the Bible. Oh, that book doesn't do anything for you. Lord, help everyone in this room pick up the sword and be servants of the Most High God. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you will admit to God, I am weak, God. I have deceived. I have lied. God, I realize that I am living a life under a lie. I've been so fearful to be more than I am simply because I've believed the lies of the devil. When your scriptures tell me that you love me and I'm forgiven, that I can be somebody and I can go somewhere, I can accomplish something, I ask you to forgive me for believing the lies. I would pray that Jesus Christ could come into my heart right now and flood me with the forgiveness of sin and scour my sinful heart with his sinless blood, that your Holy Spirit would set me free once and for all, that I'd never go back to these lies. I'd never go back to living under the lie or living a lie. But I'll be transparent and honest and humble before you and asking you for the strength that I used to cover up my weakness with a lie. If that's your prayer today, that you want God to be your Father, even if you are one of the devil's children today, God has got the adoption papers out right now. And he's ready to sign in the ink of the blood of his son that the devil can never take you back. If you want Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want God as your Father, I'm going to just ask you to raise your hand right now. And would you look up at me? I want to remember you as I'm driving home. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. Yes, sir. Way up there. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. 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 Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, right here. I see you. Yes, over my right. In the back. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I see you there in the blue hat. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. I see you right there, ma'am. Yes. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, I see you. Yes, ma'am. Don't let your pride take you down. Lord, you know from the moment these people that raised their hands began breathing as a baby in the hospital, you've known them since they came out of their diapers and began to walk, became a personality. You've known them through their toddler years and their childhood, their teen years, and now their adult years. You know the lies that have been fed to them, the fear and the destruction that those lies have felt, that has been bred in them because of the lies, the cover-ups. You know the lies that they have shared that have kept them out of trouble or diverted some catastrophe, justifiable. And you've erased every one of them now simply because they want to believe and they call out to you. So those of us that know you, Father, we beg you to scour every person's heart. You'll give them great freedom today that they could know you. May you bless them. May this be a new walk of life for them. And may you put a shield of truth around everyone here. Give them eyes of truth to see when the television is lying, the movie is lying, the magazine is lying, the business person is lying, the checkout person is lying, the banker is lying, the person selling the car is lying. Our friends are lying. Our children are lying. The teacher is lying. The politician is lying. Or we're lying. Please keep us as people of truth to honor you. And we fear before you that even though Abraham, with all this faith, was ignorant of us, you know us and you love us. We bless your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen.